Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Right, so if you ever wanted to have like this really devious plan to take out just about every high-powered liberal member of Hollywood, then there's one place at one time that if you were so devious and so sick and so twisted, you would go to this place in order to stir up some trouble, and the place is the Sundance Film Festival. So that's once a year, and you get all the liberal Hollywood elites come out, and they're patting each other on the back and all the movies and crazy things that they're doing. And so much of what they're doing there is anti-Christian, anti-biblical in its theme, and it's not even veiled anymore. It's pretty out there. So that's like this culmination of the liberal movement in terms of Hollywood and filmmaking goes. So Sundance Film Festival. But lo and behold, a friend of mine who's no stranger to danger, who likes to wade into this stuff and is a sister in Christ and a great friend and supporter of the radio show, found out, and we'll find out how, about this group of Christians that actually go there too, to the Sundance Film Festival. And the name of that ministry is called Windrider Institute. So we're going to find out about that. But my friend Cindy Morelli Watko is here in the studio. So we're gonna hear about this wild story and this wild experience. I mentioned it yesterday. And Cindy, welcome to the show. Then this is like your first time, right, being in here?
Yes, it's my first time being here.
Is it freaking you out?
A little bit with this mic.
Because you usually don't have a problem talking.
No.
You're very opinionated, which is why we get along.
Right.
But I remember when you told me about this last year that you were going to the Sundance Film Festival, and I was like, why? So how did this even get on your radar screen?
Well, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
Probably 2 years ago, I met a guy named John Pretty at an event that I attended for people that support ministries, philanthropists. And he was telling me that he and his brother had a very successful business. They sold their business. And when kind of their second phase of life, what did they want to do? And they had a real heart for movies because they love movies. And they felt like Christians should be in the movie industry. We shouldn't be making schlocky films, and we should be participating in that culture. And so he and his brother started this thing called Windrider Institute, and they engage young filmmakers, aspiring filmmakers, in creating films. And then they come to Sundance. So they work with Fuller. They partnered with Fuller Theological Seminary, and then they bring college students to Sundance. And so it's a 1 week experience, full immersion, and they get college credit, and they have folks in from Fuller and Biola. And I went to Taylor University, so Taylor participates. So they send students. The students have to be studying film, and they have to be evaluating film. And then when they come, they have the chance to interact with filmmakers and screenwriters, etc., to talk about how do you get in this business, yeah, how are you successful. And so he invited me to come, and I thought, everybody wants to go to Sundance. Who turns you down? And he said, some people turn you down. I said, well, don't turn me down. But I didn't think he would really invite me.
It's a beautiful place. Where is it?
It's Park City,
Utah, right?
Right, in January. And it's so beautiful. And everybody that loves movies, I love movies. Everyone's heard of it. Everybody knows about it. It's the who's who of Hollywood. And so he invited me to go, and I just went. I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know anyone that I was going with. And I went out last year and saw 18 to 20 movies, which is a lot of movies.
And what period of time?
A week. So you can see like 3 to 4 movies a day, which I thought I could do, but they're so heavy and so intense that really you're so impacted. Yeah. And so last year I saw all these sad Syrian films.
Do you think you walked into it thinking, oh, this will be fun?
Oh, for sure.
I'm going to go see a bunch of movies.
I love movies. For sure. I walked into it thinking that, and I left. I mean, last year's theme had a lot to do with Syria. And so I watched a lot of documentaries, and they were all sad Syrian documentaries. And I was so depressed and sad.
Yeah.
It was impactful. I just, and I didn't see anything funny or upbeat. I mean, I did see a couple of funny movies, and then you track them after it's over. And so last year, I felt like when I was there, I felt like I was in Babylon. It was so heavy. The spiritual oppression was so heavy. Donald Trump had just been elected. So this crowd was anti-Trump. They just had the Women's March. They were anti, you know, all my values.
Yeah,
and Trump just had the travel ban. So every time before a movie's film, a movie's premiered, the director gets up and talks about the film. Well, in this particular instance, every time before a movie premiered, they had to talk about Trump.
Wow.
And so here I am, loyal Trump supporter, hearing this constantly, and I thought, what do we
do? You didn't have your red cap on, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't, and I kept quiet, and it's hard when you have to keep quiet. And but to see so many people that I'm not regularly in touch with, the animosity and everything that's against our values. But then you come every day from the Windrider Institute, you're back with Christians in the morning discussing what you've seen. But again, the angst and feeling like for these young people, being 18, 19, 20, you just feel like the heaviness for them. And you think, where is the hope? And I left last year feeling like, wow, there's not a lot of hope for this community.
Did you find yourself, because I've been down this road myself in the past, as you know, especially when I was doing a lot of activism and more political stuff, that, you know, I'd get around a bunch of people like that, and I would have all kinds of disdain for them.
Oh, for sure.
And just a bunch of, you know, these people basically are henchmen for the devil himself, and they're my enemy. And my heart would be pretty closed and pretty hard towards them. Was that the way you felt when you were there last year?
Yes, especially when you ride on the bus with them. So that was when all those pink hats were popular.
Oh, boy.
So you see all these women standing around you. And I'm somebody that really has to engage in conversation. I mean, I'm provocative, and I want to ask people, why are you wearing that hat? And so feeling like that's not what God was leading me to do, I felt like I had to be very silent. And for me, to be silent felt invisible, and I'm not used to feeling invisible.
Yeah.
So it was just really hard. It was very hard. And then seeing these intense movies, you know, I mean, feeling the hopelessness of that Syrian situation, which felt so hopeless, was
difficult.
Yeah,
one thing after another. And you said earlier before we went on the air that you came away from that and you used the phrase PTSD. And I'm like, really? Was that really how you felt? But it really, it kind of stayed with you, didn't it?
Oh, for sure. When I was invited back to go this year, I had really post-traumatic stress. And Steve called it post-traumatic spiritual stress, which I had. Because I just thought, as I looked at the, you look at the film, they give you a list of all the films. And so there are like 4,000 submissions to Sundance. And then they select 110 films. And they have different categories, documentaries, dramas, premieres, world dramas, world documentaries, kind of like the next generation films. So as you read the description of these films, there's not, you can't watch a trailer because they're not out yet. There's some of them aren't even finished yet. And as I was reading it, I thought, I just don't want to go see these films. I'm tired of these topics. You know, the themes were things like Christians are bad, because every film talked about either how Christians had sent these girls off to a de-gay camp, and or which was called the Miseducation of Cameron somebody, or pastors.
Yeah.
My confounded pastors. And I thought, I just don't want to spend my time like that. I can't do it again.
But yet you went.
I went.
So we'll talk about that, because God has been doing a thing there at Sundance, and he's been doing a thing in Cindy's life. And as we find out about Windrider and what's going on there, there's really a lot here. There's a lot here for us in terms of cultural engagement and not walking away from any mission field. So we're going to keep talking to Cindy Morelli Watko. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back.
Searching for something, something never comes, never leads to nothing, nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close, closer to the prize at the end of the rope.
Welcome back to Steve Noble, getting closer to the prize at the end of the road, that's for sure. Thank you, Lord, for that. Despite all the darkness and craziness out there, we do not grieve and we do not mourn as those who have no hope. So let's remember that, as ticked off as I was early this morning with what happened in Congress yet again last night. I wake up today and I'm like, you know what? God is still on the throne. He still rules the universe with his feet up, and I am still destined for heaven. And so all of this stuff will fade away eventually. But it's still important. He leaves us in the here and the now to make a difference and to be an ambassador for him. And then we have the hope of the there and the then. And that's just the tension that we live in as Christians. But if you want to amplify that, one way to do it would be go to the Sundance Film Festival. And that's why we're talking to Cindy Morelli Watko, who's a good friend of mine here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and a great supporter of the ministry. She's a great supporter of a lot of ministries, and another loudmouth, in-your-face kind of Christian who loves people, which is why I love Cindy and appreciate her. But she went to Sundance last year in 2017 with a really neat ministry that I'm really looking forward to having these guys on the radio show, Windrider Institute. And they're going right into the belly of the beast there. It's like we were talking about Babylon. We'll keep talking about that. And so Cindy met them and had a chance and got invited to go out there. And last year, a very difficult experience. And you described, you know, kind of post-traumatic stress disorder and the darkness there and and it was highly politically charged last year. But you came through that. And so what happened between last year and this year, where it sounds like when you left, you're like, yeah, I'm not going to go back there. But yet you just got back from Sundance number two a couple weeks ago.
Well, I met at last year when I was there, I met a guy named Ralph Winter, and he's a very successful producer, very well known. He did X-Men back in the day. He's very widely respected in Hollywood. And I happened to talk to him last year about how I felt discouraged. And he said that he could always see redemption in every film, and that he taught a Sunday school class where he led his Sunday school class through the top, whatever the Academy, when the Academy nominated films come out, he takes them through a Bible study to show the redemptive theme of those shows. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. How in the world do you do that? Like La La Land.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, oh, La La Land is perfect. And I thought, you know what? Maybe I am not looking at it the right way. Maybe there is something I'm missing because I'm reacting so much to the assault on my values that I'm not seeing it with spiritual discernment and spiritual eyes. So this time when I went back, I said, I'm not seeing any sad Syrian films. I'm not seeing any sad documentaries. I'm staying away from any anti-police messages. And I'll kind of go for the premieres, because the movies that get premiered there go on to be, some of them hope to be box office movies. They're not all indie films that are, you know, sad and depressing and deep. So I said, I'll pick different movies this time. And Wind Rider recommends movies for us to see as a group because they hope to invite the directors in so that the students can ask questions of the director, like, why did you pick this theme or this story, or how did you tell it?
Do you know how they pick those movies? Because you saw some phenomenal movies that I want to see myself. We're going to talk about a few of them after the next break. But
I think because these people are connected to film. So like Fuller, there's a film. They have the whole film department. They're connected to UCLA people that know film. So they know from the 15 years they've been there, they know who the directors are that have value, that have made interesting things. So they follow them and they know their history. So they recommend films. So
Wind Rider's been there for that long?
15 years. They've been there for 15 years. Yeah. So that's, they've got a good established reputation.
That's
and
awesome.
They've had to be under the radar, but be winsome. They're very winsome. And so they've built a very good reputation. And some of their people have gone on to do movies that were impactful. I mean, have had a real, they've been released.
Yeah.
Two of the movies that they recommended, one was called Come Sunday, which is about Bishop Pearson, who is from the Pentecostal church. And another one was called Burden, which was about a guy named Mike Burden, who was from South Carolina. And those were two they recommended. And those would have been on, quote unquote, the premieres or the more normal movies. And so I thought, OK, I don't really want to see those, but I'll see those. And that's what I started with seeing first. And that's what really changed my experience.
So having experienced it in 2016 and then going back, or 2017 and then going back this year, how was your attitude or your mindset different going back? You had the advantage of your experience and now you're going back there. What was your goal? What were you after in going back this year?
Well, I really didn't want to go. Like my Ethiopian daughter, Brahani, on the drive to the airport, she said to me, you're not very excited. I said, I'm not at all excited. I'm just going back to kind of get it out of my system because I love film and I love movies. And I'm a donor to that ministry and I just wanted to go one last time.
Yeah.
So I really had no expectation. But when I got there and we went to that first movie, the Come Sunday movie about the bishop, Bishop Pearson, and I sat there watching that, I thought, oh my gosh, this is a religious movie. This is a real Christian movie. And it shocked me that a major movie, not a Christian made by Christians movie, was, and watching that in a theater that had 2,000 people. And then I was there with all these seminary students.
Yeah.
And we were experiencing it one way. And yet the movie was so Christian. I just sat
And when
back.
You say that, what do you mean by that? The movie was so Christian.
It
was
it's
obviously about a pastor and a real pastor.
A real pastor, Bishop Pearson. He came through the Oral Roberts era. He was heir to Oral Roberts' throne, and he was a charismatic Pentecostal pastor. So the movie was all about his journey of faith and what happened to him. So lots of the scenes were filmed in a church setting, and it was so similar to Upper Room. The setting of the church looked like we were in Upper Room.
Wow.
And the interactions between the bishop and his wife and the people
around him. And this was the guy that played him. Pronounce his name.
He played in 12 Years a Slave.
12 Years a Slave. Yeah. Phenomenal actor.
Phenomenal actor. So again, Christian movies typically are schlocky, second rate actors, filmed very cheap budget. And yet here we're seeing a major motion picture and the guy is preaching the gospel because he's a pastor. So he's preaching to this whole audience from the Bible. And they're playing Christian hymns because it's got that music that we all know. So we know all the music. It's so Christian. And then he has a crisis of faith. He decides, there's a scene where he sees the children dying in Rwanda, and he feels like God speaks to him and tells him there's no hell. And then he comes forward that Sunday and announces to his church.
And this is a true story.
Yes, it's a true story. And so he comes Sunday and announces there's no hell. And so we are experiencing, those of us that are Christians are experiencing like his church would have, like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah,
right? Huh? We're not expecting that, you
right.
know. And it's the story from there. It's how he begins to believe and then ultimately concludes there is no hell. And that's where it ends. It ends with him losing his church, losing his house, losing his big ministry. He was an internationally known evangelist. And the very last scene, he talks about a subject of being gay. One of his followers was gay, and he used to evangelize his followers saying, just because you are gay doesn't mean you have to do gay. And when he decides there's no hell, that young boy looks at him and says, well, if there's no hell, then why do I have to behave
why
properly?
Why am I worried about my behavior?
Right. And in the last scene, he goes back to that guy, and the guy's dying, and he asks him, tell me what's going to happen. Tell me what's going to happen. And he can't tell him. And he begins to sing. He said, all I know is Jesus loves me, this I know. And he begins to sing the song. And the theater, people in this theater start crying. And here we are. We're believers and we're reacting to, how could he not know there's a hell? And people are responding to the message, Jesus loves me.
Yeah,
and that's
wow.
when I really it hit me. You know what? God is doing something here this year. God is here. And he wants people to know Jesus loves them. And people don't know that. And we forget as Christians that people don't know Jesus loves them. We think everybody knows Jesus loves them. But I was in a theater with 1,000 people at least that did not know that.
Yeah.
And that was powerful.
Yet there was something touching their heart.
And this is,
I could put this together theologically because they're all made in God's image. So that's actually their creator. They are supposed to be connected to him. In a certain way, they are because they're created by him. But that brokenness separates them. So there's something about, they hear that bell and they're like, there's something about this that draws me. And oftentimes we look at the same people and go, yeah, but they voted for Hillary Clinton
exactly.
and they wear the weird pink hat and they do what they do out there on their marches. Ah, to hell with them. And Jesus is hanging on the cross going, no, you know what, Cindy and Steve, I died for them too. Back at Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. If you want to join us on Facebook, by the way, we're live right now in the studio. It's Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern. We've got the shows playing in other markets and other states. We just added friends up in northern Minnesota, International Falls up there. And you guys listening in the evening, but we're actually live earlier in the day, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time. We've got Hawaii's coming on in the next couple of weeks. We're excited about that. We're talking to Las Vegas. We're talking, Cindy, we're talking to a huge Christian radio station and their antennas right in the middle of San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
that's pretty cool,
right,
huh? So that's like Sundance Film Festival times whatever, a million in terms of population. So all kinds of cool things going on there. But if you want to join us on Facebook Live, facebook.com/C2A Radio. That's the letter C, the number two, the letter A, C2A Radio on Facebook. So we're talking today about Cindy's been to a great Christian woman, a friend of mine, very serious about her faith, very committed, supports a lot of things. And she's been to a Sundance Film Festival not once but twice, and we're talking about her second experience, which she just got back a couple weeks ago. And the whole notion of films and engaging films and not just like you were there on Tuesday when we saw I Can Only Imagine.
Right.
Which what did you think of that?
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was so well done. And again, contrast the quality to the films I saw at Sundance. It's lower quality.
Yeah.
Again, the budgets are different.
Yep.
But the message of redemption, which is what I feel like God is really doing in the yep. area of creative arts and media.
Absolutely.
God is trying to get the message out through film that he cares and loves people, and redemption is available to us all.
Yeah, and fortunately, Andy and John Irwin, and you heard from Andy because he was there Tuesday night, they understand that divide, the literal quality level divide, which is why they're always pushing to see the movie get bigger. They're dealing with investors all over the country because they want to do – there was a question that night. Actually, our friend Thomas asked the question, are you guys going to do a movie – they only do true stories – about a somebody from the Bible. And John Irwin actually has this vision. He wants to do a three-part series on the life of David. And I asked him once, how much would that cost to pull it off? I mean, to the level you want it. And he said, probably $150 million.
Right.
To pull that off, to do all three movies, $50 million budget. But that's just the name of the game. But they're there and they're moving towards that, which is super exciting. I'm gonna jump here right quick, Cindy, if you don't mind. I'm gonna take a call coming in from Iowa. Frank had a question. Frank, I want to grab your question right quick. I don't want to get off the beaten path here too much, but I think you've got a good question to ask here, Frank. So go right ahead.
I wanted to ask Cindy and yourself. Suppose you knew there was a diamond in a cesspool. Would you be willing to endure the toxins to scuba dive in that cesspool after that diamond? For the most part, Hollywood puts out junk, and they will toss in an occasional, tidbit of morality to kind of justify the garbage that they're churning out. We're exposing ourselves to a lot of toxin for a small tidbit of morality.
Right.
Just wonder your thoughts on that.
That's a great question, Frank. Thanks so much for calling in and asking that. Does that make sense to you? I know where he's going with that. So how would you answer Frank's question?
Well, I would say that from my experience of these films I saw at Sundance, these are not films with morality tossed into them. These are human stories about people. The movies that impacted me the most are real stories. And so they're really what had happened. And Hollywood's not trying to put them out there to preach morality. Hollywood's just trying to tell interesting stories and hoping that there'll be enough audience. People, I think Hollywood understands you have to make money in films. I mean, last year was a dismal movie. There was like the worst record, history of film. And so they know they can't keep turning out Fast and Furious 159. But when they do have a film like Silence, which cost a fortune to make, people didn't come see it.
Nobody saw it.
And it was a great movie. So beautifully done. But people didn't come. So Hollywood is saying, listen, we have to get investors. Everything has to have a return. Everything has to pay for itself. So we have to find the stories that are going to be interesting enough to the largest group of people so that we can get the money back and make money. Because if they don't make money, they can't make the film. So I'm not sure I would say that it's that you have to wade through the toxins to get to the diamond. I do believe there's a lot of garbage in Hollywood, but I really think what I felt from Sundance was God is hovering above the darkness, and Hollywood clearly is dark. And so when we have people that want to create something, that's a reaction to people that the humanity, God in people, he's the creator God. So if somebody has a desire to create something, they're responding to that creator God in them. We need to be there trusting that God can reach down and shape that, because they don't even understand themselves what's going on.
And I would add to that, Frank, that I would challenge you to turn your thinking around a little bit and go, okay, I'm not going in there to find the diamond. I'm going in there with the diamond.
Right.
I'm bringing the truth of God's word. And listen, all the kids that have left the church and all those numbers, which are some of those are substantiated, some of them aren't. But I can tell you this, and the Irwin brothers talk about this all the time. All these young people, millennials and such, that do not go to the church, you know what church they are going to? The movie theater.
Amen.
You look at the raw numbers of who goes to movies and who buys the tickets. It's the people that aren't going to church are really driving the movie industry. So I don't look at it. Here's what I do. And Frank, I would also say, would I take my 13-year-old daughter to every one of these movies? No. Would I take an immature, weak Christian to something that I know is going to stumble? No, Scripture makes it clear that we are not to cause anybody to stumble. You don't create a stumbling block. But I'm not thinking about Christians in this case. I'm thinking about unbelievers. And this is their language, and they're there. This is Babylon. We live in it. That's America. That's part of our culture. And so I go into the movie theater, and I can get encouraged myself, because even though the movie maker doesn't see the truth of God's word in their story, I do, and they can't help it, by the way, because they're creating God's image. So it's always going to show up some way. But I'm there to kind of learn that language, to experience it, so that I can then have good gospel conversations in a realm where they wouldn't expect us to be.
Right.
Why would a Christian be here in Sundance? Because have you had any conversations there with unbelievers, and they're wondering, why are you here, Cindy?
Well, it was like when we met the directors of these two films. So the director from the movie, the Bishop movie, the Come Sunday, he's a Jew, and he is with NPR on This American Life, I think, is what his program is. So anyway, he came and spoke to our group, and they said, why were you attracted to this story? And he said, well, as a Jew, I don't believe in hell. So I was very interested.
And he's coming to speak to what he knows is a Christian evangelical group, right?
Everybody there was Christian and evangelical. And so he said, I was interested as a Jew to meet somebody who was a Christian, who did believe in hell, is still a Christian, and no longer believes in hell. I found that story compelling. So we were there, and I asked him, I said, you know, how did you select the music? Because the music you played was so Christian, he couldn't possibly have known about that music, because every song they were singing really contrasted the lack of real faith and belief the audience, their congregation must have had with this pastor. Yeah. And he didn't even know that. So we're there to help even open the eyes
enlighten
of people.
Him.
Exactly.
Yes.
That are, and because we are winsome and we're not threatening and we're not judgmental and we don't say words that are offensive to them, they walk out feeling like, wow, that was a different experience.
Yeah, no kidding. And that's that thing, that winsome thing. And, you know, you knew I did a couple TV things a year and a half ago with some of the biggest transgender activists on the planet. And when I walked in there with the Jewish producer of the first one, which was on Fusion Television, which is ABC and Univision, not exactly a conservative bastion, I told him, just so you know, one of my goals in coming here tonight, I was like the only Christian that would agree to go locally. I said, one of my goals in being here tonight is I want to be the last hardcore, so far to the right, I'm about to fall off the flat earth evangelical Christian you ever expected to meet. And, you know, that's a mouthful. He's looking at me going, well, what kind is that? And I smiled at him. I said, likable.
Right.
And he laughed and, oh, okay, you know, kind of uncomfortable. 3 hours later, 3 hours, we had this big, intense dinner with these two transgender people and a gay activist and me and a Republican strategist about the bathroom bill here in North Carolina. I'm getting ready to leave. It was a miraculous evening. And on the way out, he stops me. He goes, hey, Steve. Yeah. He goes, I just want to tell you, you definitely accomplished your goal. I've never met a Christian like you before, where I actually like you. And you were kind and considerate. And I said, well, you know what, Dan? If you like me, and this is a Jew, if you like me, you'd really like Jesus.
Amen.
Because I'm a really bad shadow. So you should start reading about him. I'll send you a Bible. And he's like, okay. But that's, go wade into that. And the film industry allows us to do that. And film and Sundance, oh my goodness. That, talk about a field that's white unto harvest. Get in there.
Exactly. And that's why the next film that I saw, which was Burden, which is the true story about Mike Burden. He was a Ku Klux Klan member in South Carolina. And they opened, I don't know if you remember this or not, from Lawrence, South Carolina, they opened the Redneck Ku Klux Klan Museum.
Golly.
And so this film was about what happened between the pastor of that church, who's played in the movie by, again, an A-list actor, Forrest Whitaker. Total A-list. And that pastor, and then the Ku Klux Klan member that ultimately this guy, Mike Burden, he renounces the Ku Klux Klan and the transformation that occurs. And that's a hard movie to see. If you're a weak Christian, you're going to go to that and go, holy moly, they use such bad language.
Yeah,
and because it's hard. I mean, it's harsh. You want to put your hands over your ears. You cover your eyes.
Sure.
There's violence. But that is real. And that's where people are living. And that's where, man, the gospel meets reality and it's illuminating. And after that movie was over, we just sat there, all of us, and we were sobbing and we were blown away because, again, it was such a Christian movie, so Christian, but not made by a Christian, not produced by a Christian, not funded by Christians, and not going to play in a Christian church.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it won't. But yet there we can be, and there's ripe, fertile ground there. I'm going to talk to you about that. And the guy that made Burden, because there's a great story in here, because they had a chance to meet with him, and they're there and they're engaging and they're talking to unbelievers. So let me ask you a question, and I'm asking this because I love the Lord and I love you. When's the last time you surrounded yourself with unbelievers? See, usually we run. Jesus didn't. Neither should we. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, talking about Christians and the Sundance Film Festival. It's kind of like oil and water with my good friend Cindy Morelli Wacko. By the way, Cindy, name that tune. Did you recognize that song?
Yes, of course. I love that music.
Do you know the song?
Oh, no. I just blessed it. It went out of my head.
Love isn't always on time.
Oh, there you go.
So you remember that. So anyway, we're talking about Cindy's experience. She went last year, a year ago, to Sundance Film Festival. Really dark. Came out of there basically with PTSD because it was so dark. It was so gnarly. And so political, but went back. She's involved with a great ministry that I'm going to get at least one of the two co-founders on, Windrider Institute. They're right there in the middle of it and invading the darkness there with young Christian filmmakers, young Christians that want to be filmmakers. It's just an awesome ministry. I'm looking forward to meeting those guys. But went back this year and had a very different experience, a different mindset going in there, and came out of it with hope, which we'll finish with today. But you were talking about, I want to talk some more about the movie Burden, but you wanted to say something else about Come Sunday, which is the true story of the Pentecostal pastor who all of a sudden had a crisis of faith and decided that there wasn't a hell anymore.
And he's still a pastor. He's a bishop, and he's now really big in the universal salvation and Unitarian ministry.
Yikes.
And so anyway, so he was there. After the movie, they have people come out, usually the actors. If it's the premiere, they'll have the actors, they'll have the producers, they'll have important people come out. So this pastor, this bishop, was actually there, and he said, I just want to apologize on behalf of Christians to all of you that have been wounded by religion. And people stood up and clapped. And that broke my heart because I thought, you know what? We are ministers of reconciliation.
Yeah.
And if we are abdicating our role in that to somebody who clearly has lost his way, we are going to be held accountable. And so in response to, would you be willing to go in? I say, yes, we should be willing to go in because there have been many, many people wounded by religion. And we need to be the ones to point them to the right way.
Yeah. And you're standing there in a room surrounded by people,
right,
who are really ready to have the conversation.
Right, right. They're ripe. Like you said, the look around.
The
harvest
the
is white.
White.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's white unto harvest. So
anyway, back to Burden. So after we'd seen Come Sunday and we saw that pastor who at the very end, he could not reconcile his faith, even to his own person that so desperately needed him. Then you see this movie, Burden. And the climax of this movie is when the pastor...
Forrest Whitaker.
So after the guy, Mike Burden, after he renounces the KKK, he's obviously kicked out of the KKK and they come after him with a vengeance. And you can imagine in a small South Carolina town where the KKK was ruling, and this was recent, it hasn't been that long ago, there's nowhere. He can't get a job. He can go nowhere.
Wow.
And he ends up being homeless. And the black pastor sees him and brings him home to live in his house. And it is such a crisis.
And this is a true story.
It's true. It's true. And it's a crisis. It's a crisis to this guy's wife. It's a crisis to his son because this white guy had beaten up this pastor's son's best friend and beat him brutally. And so his own family is looking at him saying, we have gone along with you on a lot of things, but we cannot accept this. And he said, you know what? If I can't take him in, how can I stand in the pulpit and preach?
Yeah, man.
And like Steve said, you know, it's not just love your neighbor, it's love your enemy. And that
love. Even the sinners love their friends and people that are like them, but it takes a lot to love your enemy.
And that love transformed this kid because he couldn't believe it. He couldn't accept it. He didn't know how to deal with it. And in the end, toward the very end, he finally comes to terms with it all. And one of the last scenes shows him being baptized.
Wow.
And that redemption when he comes up out of that water. And again, this is a non-Christian audience. It's a non-Christian film. We're in a dark theater. It's been a roller coaster ride of emotion, lots of KKK stuff. To see someone come out of the water with forgiveness and redemption, and the choir, which was real, the church had a choir there, they're singing and praising the Lord. It was overwhelming. And I just sat there and thought, Lord, you are so awesome. And the fact it's a true story. And so.
And how did the crowd react to that?
Well, that movie was the audience favorite.
Really?
You vote for films, and that movie out of 110 films was the audience favorite.
Wow.
It was not the critics' favorite. It was panned by the critics. The Hollywood Reporter just trashed it, said it was so over the top and
what
poorly acted. Exactly, because they totally missed it.
Right,
well, that
yeah.
that director came and talked to our group. And again, he's not a believer. This happened 20 years ago that he started this project. It took 20 years to make it. And he asked how many of us would have seen it if it hadn't been for Wind Rider. And I said, I wouldn't have, because I really didn't want to see somebody making fun of KKK people, because they're human beings. They're poor white people. And in the film, the black pastor said, I feel sorry for those guys. He tells his audience, because they're white guys. They were promised that they'd have everything. They've got nothing. They're so disappointed. And again, it's that awareness and that ministry that he offered.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so the director, he said that I said, I hope you don't market this as an anti-KKK, anti-poor white people. And he said, no, I'm going to be very clear. Hollywood cannot co-opt my movie to make a left-wing liberal agenda message, because that's not what this is about. Because somebody asked him, how did you feel about this given the what was happening in
Charlottesville. Yeah.
And he said, I have no opinion on that. That's not what this movie is about. This movie is about a man and the minister. And he said, I was drawn to the story because I wanted to know, how could this minister so love his enemy well, if that's not the gospel,
yeah, hello.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
And he stuck with him. And I asked him, where is that man today? How has his life turned out? And he said, you know, it hasn't turned out rosy for him. We're still in touch. But and that, again, is what I loved about the honesty of it, because sometimes Christian movies make you think, oh, you know, he gets saved by the Lord and then he gets his wife back and he gets his job back and his life. That's not how life works.
Right, and he gets double everything back, according to Joel Osteen, and everything's good.
Exactly. Nobody relates to that because people don't get that back. And yet this movie shows the truth of it. And again, he was grateful to have us to talk about his movie because we were an audience that got his movie, and yeah, he was really shocked that we really got it. But then for it to win, you know, to win the overall, it wasn't the critics' pick, the jury judges as well. And the film that the Sundance jurors picked as the number one film was The Miseducation of Cameron So-and-So. And that was the one about the lesbian girl whose parents sent her off to gay camp.
That
was the critics' choice.
Of course.
But the audience choice was Burden.
How about that?
So I feel like this is the Lord's time. He wants us engaged in this battle. He wants us in this field. And like you had said, he wants us to take authority.
Absolutely.
Because he's the creator God.
That's exactly right. This is creation.
Right.
Yeah, we don't operate towards victory. We operate from victory. And we're more than conquerors. It's about time we start acting like it. You told a funny story that the director wouldn't even see the reality of all this because he doesn't see truth yet. But when they had to reshoot the baptismal scene, right?
Right.
Tell us, this is a great story.
So they ask, you know, because again, we saw in the Come Sunday, there's a baptism at the end of that film too. And then this film has a baptism scene, two totally different baptisms. So in this scene, he talked about how this was the most expensive day of filming that they had, the baptism scene. It cost him the most money. It was cold. They had to be in the water for a long time. It was just a real pain in the neck filming. They lost that footage. And he said that. He said, and you know, we lost that footage. And we're all sitting there
going, did you guys laugh?
Yeah, we're all just sitting there. And then he said, and then when we reshot it, he said, then one of the women in the choir that was a singer in the choir, she fainted. And we're just looking around at each other. And he said, you know, it kind of freaked me out. He said, you know, she started talking about oppression. And he said, I just didn't get it. Maybe you get it, but I didn't get it. But they were saying, this is the opposition to this scene.
Yeah.
And we're all just sitting there saying, of course, because God, you know, Satan doesn't want to show
there's
victory in Jesus. He doesn't want to show that. There's forgiveness.
And he didn't want this filmmaker to see it either.
And he didn't want this film made because it's been 20 years in the making. And he talked about all the different stars that have been involved because it's going to be an Academy Award winning film if it gets out there.
Yeah. So what happens next with films like that?
Well, they're there to help get, you know, hopefully they'll get picked up and be distributed. So, and this year, not much money was spent. They said it was the lowest amount of money being spent because Netflix and Amazon are producing their own.
Yep.
So they're not picking up films, but it's going to be released in a theater. And it won't be like Christian films. You know, Christian films come out like sometimes on a one day only thing, or they say it's limited release. If this gets picked up, it'll be a big release, but it'll need to be, you know, people need to come see it in order for it to get out.
And this guy, Andrew Heckler, I just looked him up. He did Armageddon, which was a huge movie back in 98. And he also was the guy behind Ally McBeal, the TV series in 1997. So will you help me get this? I'm going to get this guy on the radio.
Oh, that would be great to
get
him.
Cool?
Yeah, that would really be good.
I'd love to hear that. So you left when you went last year in 2017, and it was really dark, and you left and had kind of spiritual post-traumatic stress disorder, which doesn't surprise me at all. But you went back, and you just got home, you know, within the last couple of weeks. What'd you leave with this time?
Hope and optimism and a real sense of we should be, if you are called into this, because we all need to evaluate, what are we called to?
Yeah,
what is our sphere of influence? We're not all going to be Ravi Zacharias, so we shouldn't try to figure out how to be deep apologists. You know, that's not what we're called to. But if you're the kind of person that you love movies and you love film, don't be afraid to go see movies that are being made now. Because like I told you, Ralph Winter, and there's even a book out, they wrote a book called God in the Movies, and they go back and look at movies in the last, I think, 20 years and have, you know, different theological topics and discussions you can use in a Bible study. So don't be afraid to engage in these things and talk to people about how they're experiencing it. How are you experiencing forgiveness? Have you ever been forgiven? What do you think about the concept of loving your neighbor and bringing them into your house? Share the gospel. Use it as a way to share the gospel naturally. It doesn't have to be forced. It doesn't have to happen in a church. I mean, both of those movies are so impactful, and there were several others that are coming out just like that. The Tale with Laura Dern is another one that's going to be an impactful movie that people can talk about. And so I left feeling like, It's a great time to be a Christian, yeah. And it's a great time to be
awesome?
In the world. Perfect love casts out fear. We don't have any fear. We should not back down in the conversation,
that's right.
But we need to be led by the Spirit. We need to be understanding. Not everybody knows what we know. And there's been so much misinformation about what a Christian is, you know, that we need to stop.
Yeah.
And see, what does the world need to hear from you?
And these movies that are out there that people are paying money to and taking their time to go see, that's a common currency. That's a way more common currency than a Bible tract. And a Bible tract
sure.
has its place. But if I'm engaging in the movies and I'm going to the movies and seeing what other people are seeing, that is such an easy on-ramp for the gospel. Hey, you saw that movie? What'd you think about that?
Right.
Yeah, well, you know what? Here, this is an interesting thing I saw. Well, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm one of those Bible thumper people. But let me tell you about what I experienced. And now we're in this conversation with a common denominator, which is the movie. But if you don't go, you don't have that common denominator. And that is one that exists. Cindy, thanks so much for being here. What a great topic. We'll do it again. And we'll go after that director. We'll go after Andrew Heckler together. There's no way he can say no to both of us. I doubt that he can say no to you. It's great having you. Thanks
Thank
for being
you.
Here. You're welcome. Okay, friends, have a great weekend. Go enjoy the movies, but use them for the kingdom. This is Steve Noble with his Call to Action Radio. And God willing, I'll talk to you again.